Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. It's all Jesus. Amen. It's all Him. He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the worship. It's Him. He's the one that's going to deliver you. He's the one that's going to set you free.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You will abide in me and my words will abide in you. Amen. Yeah, but you will. Praise God. We're going to continue to talk about dealing with evil spirits, part 3. You know, evil spirits are not something to be afraid of, but it's like anything else. We need to know our enemy, right? And we are not afraid of the enemy, but we're going to hit it head on because we need to understand the enemy, because guess what? The enemy wants to take you out. He wants to destroy marriage, wants to destroy your relationship with your kids. He wants to make you poor. He wants to make sure you're sick, that you're an emotional basket case, and everything else. And when we understand the enemy, we can live free. Amen?
Yeah.
And what are demonic forces? Demons are just basically entities without bodies that are trying to wreck your life. And Jesus dealt with them. He spoke to them. He took care of business. He took His authority over them. And it's like anything else. They're going to take anything you give them. It's up to you to take authority over the enemy and to show them who's boss. Mm-hmm. And the Bible specifically says that we have authority over them because of Christ.
Yes.
And Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, we're going to go over some scriptures we talked about last week, but it says, and when when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Verse 16, when the even came, was come, they brought unto him all that were what? Possessed of the devils, with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and what? Healed all that were sick. Jesus, I've said this before, Jesus dealt with sickness and demons. He dealt with evil spirits, and he also healed people. Too many times we're trying to pray for people and get people healed when there's a spirit involved. Jesus actively dealt with spirits, and he actively healed people, right? And we need to deal with both. Now, it doesn't, like I've said before, we're not looking for demons in our Cheerios, right? Some people, they see the Madonna in their SpaghettiOs and everything else, too, right? They're looking for stuff. We're not looking for demons, okay? So we're not saying everything's a demon and everything's a devil, but guess what? They're real, and we need to take authority over them. And we need to look at some telltale signs of when things are a spirit and it is involved. First of all, we need to be led by the Spirit, right? Because when Jesus walked up on the scene, I mean, he was led by the Spirit. That's the main thing. Again, Jesus was led by the Spirit when he was here on the earth. And when he came to something, he knew what was the spirit involved, how to deal with it, and what to do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told him how to deal with things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of things where he would... You know, I remember Brother Hagin talking about that. He goes, you know, some people think that I wrote Mark 11, 22 and 23 because I quoted so much. I didn't write it. I just quote it. But, you know, there's a lot of things we can declare and have faith in, Mark 11, 22 and 23, but that's not the end all be all of everything, is it? Right? I mean, guess what? There are other scriptures in the Bible. Hello. And they're just sometimes God's going to lead you to do different things. Like I said, I've prayed over people before, and we need to have oil here. I need to keep getting some, but we need to get. But I've anointed people with oil, and they've been healed. And other times, I've laid hands on people. But again, it's going to be what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do at that time. We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'll see things in the spirit realm where I'll actually see spirits on people. I've seen things, or I just have a witness. Why? Because Here's the thing. I don't want to make stuff up. You don't want to make stuff up. We need to know and be led by the Spirit how to deal with things, right? Because what's going to happen is if you're going to make stuff up, then you look stupid, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, listen, this is a... No. My foot hurts. Well, let's amputate your arm. Well, that doesn't do me any good. Hello? You know, it's like, hello, Captain Obvious. It's not going to work, right? And so, you know, I was in the military. I was in the process of taking a military test one time because I was going to, and the Lord obviously, you know, said, I don't think so. So those of you in the military, that serve in the military, thank you so much. But again, God doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. So, you know, but I was taking a test in the military one time and I was just laughed because now the mechanical people will get this. Maybe some of the other folks won't, but we're talking about if you're working on a car, do you use a hammer, a chisel, a screwdriver or a steel brush? And I'm like, maybe a screwdriver, right? Sometimes I feel like beating it with a hammer. Right? In the name of Jesus, cast the devil out of my car. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Don't go be casting devils out of your car, okay? I'm just saying right now. But my point is this, that, you know, the Bible is the Swiss Army knife. It's got all the tools, got everything we need on it. And we need to make sure that we're not, you know, trying to, you know, use a hammer to, you know, change a light bulb, right? This just doesn't work. And that's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit on those things. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I digress. And again, this is a repeat from last week. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Here we go. And the what? The power of your might. No, in the power of his might. And this is where people get into error. You know what? You've been given authority, and we need to act like we have authority over the enemy, but it's not our power. See, this is where the denominational folks get into it, where they're like, well, you're just so full of, and I've gotten in conversations with them before, where you're just so full of pride, and you know, you just, you know, arrogant. No, I'm arrogant against the devil because of what Jesus has given me. I'm not stupid to think that I have any power, any ability to do anything. I don't. Okay, guys, I can't even brush my teeth or wake up out of bed without him, right? I mean, I can't breathe without him. Mm-hmm. And we get to the point, we humble ourselves and say, okay, I am nothing without you, but I am an absolute lion because of you. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
I am a ferocious against the enemy because of what Christ did on the cross. Yeah. And again, it's not because of what I've done, but it's like, I am using my authority and my and what I have been given on the enemy. And I say no devil. Remember, the more times we say no to the enemy, the more Christ manifests in us. I'm telling you what, the devil wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to be on every kind of medication under the sun. He wants to absolutely, you know, get you so that you are an absolute hot mess, right? And we can say, not under my watch, devil. See, we think that the devil is so everything, you know, again, like I said before, we're all going to paint this pentagram on the floor and we got to, you know, sacrifice chickens and squirrels and whatever kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, the devil showed up in the Garden of Eden and said, hey, you know what? Go ahead and eat the fruit. See, the devil it's about making everything look good, right? I mean, you know, when I was younger, you know, there's some good-looking gals, but they were about as wicked as all get out, right? Some of you had met some, you know, maybe some attractive people in the past or whatever, and they're about as, you know, not right for you. Why? Because the devil always wants to make things look good on the outside, right? But it may look good, it may feel good, and everything. And like I always say, sin is going to—it's going to cost you more than you want to pay, take you farther than you want to go, right? It's not good, and you're going to be there longer than you stay. So, you know, sin is always fun. It's always fun in the process. But you know, when you wake up after the whole process, it's like I always like to call it this way: sin is it feels good in the process, but there's that. At the end of it, there's that little like barb that cuts you. It does something to you. You know, and the consequences, and, you know, I mean, nobody would sin if it wasn't any fun. I mean, come on, right? If sin wasn't fun, nobody would be doing it. But it is fun. Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about sin is fun. No, but there's damaging consequences on the other end. That's the problem. And, you know, and what the thing about sin is, what it does, it opens you up to the demonic realm. Read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is all about, okay, you do what I say, all these blessings are going to come upon you, but guess what? If you don't, I'm going to just say this, it's gross to read Deuteronomy. You go ahead and read that stuff. I don't even want to read it in church. You know, it's talking about gooey, weird junk. Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's just creepy sounding. I mean, that's just a whole nother level of yuck, right? There's just junk. Do you have to deal with your body? And it's like, that's just gross listening to it. You know, I mean, you know. And that's not something you post on Facebook. Hey, everybody, guess what happened to me? I got pictures. No, we don't want to see it. But sin is just absolutely, and what sin does, it's not just about what it does. It is, I like to think of it as a coyote. It's like a coyote call. I got a call at home, and it's a coyote, and it makes a sound of like coyotes, wounded rabbits and mice and all this other stuff, and it's supposed to draw in coyotes. What sin? Sin draws in demonic forces into your life, yeah. Right? You are now opening yourself up to the door of the devil. And so that's one thing where when you get into sin, you're opening yourself up to the enemy. Why? Because you're saying yes to the devil and no to God. But that's why when we close the door, you know, people always say, well, you're just a goody two-shoe and you talk about sin and everything and it's so awful and that's just so old school. Yeah. Let's talk to all the people that are involved in sin, and let's see how big of a joke it is 10 years later, yeah. Right? Oh, it's okay. I just want to do what I want to do. Oh, you'll do what you want to do, but it's going to eat your breakfast and lunch and dinner in the process, right? Yeah. We'll see how hilarious it is, you know, a few years from now. Because God wants us to have life and more abundantly. John 10:10. Yes. And just because you're, you know, people that are involved in sin and stuff, they think they're having this really great hee-haw, wonder, I don't know how come I'm talking about sin, but it sounds like a really good hee-haw time, and everything's, you know, so wonderful, and it looks great on the how many movie stars and musicians are an absolute hot mess? Right? It looks great. I know people that have millions of dollars personally, and their personal life is a disaster. Their marriage is a wreck. Their kids are an absolute mess. But man, they sure act like they got it together. No thank you. Right? No thank you. So again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? It's a power of his might. You can't avoid sin unless you have the Lord helping you. Because you're a new creature on the inside, 1 Corinthians 5:17, right? We are now a new creature. If we could combat sin by ourselves, we would not need Jesus. Hello? Yeah. Only one person, Jesus, defeated the enemy. So we want to put on the whole armor of God. Guess what? When we're going against the enemy, every day we need to put on the armor of God. You know, too many times Christians think that it is we're just going to put things in neutral and everything's going to be okay. I said the prayer years ago and it's all going to be wonderful. No, it's not. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. That means you've got to do something. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to expect the enemy. You've got to, you know, kind of weird stuff's been happening since I've been talking about this stuff. Yeah. I've had weird stuff happening lately, and the devil does not like it when you start exposing him. And you know what? That just makes me talk about it even more, right? I am one of those guys that say, you know, when I was younger, we play sports and everything. Ansel, shut up. No, I'm not going to yell even more for my team, right? I'm out in the field yelling more. Guys, be quiet. No, I'm not. I'm that guy. I'm the obnoxious guy. But we're going to put on the armor of God so that what? We can defeat the enemy. This is not something that we just put in neutral and just hope everything goes great. And it's like, oh, everything's great. We're all on the same boat together. No, you're going to have to deal with things. I can't fight your war for you, right? I mean, I can't, you know, call you up all the time and you know, pump, hold your arms up and everything else too. That's why Jesus died. He says, it's good for me to go because the Holy Spirit's going to come. Why? Because, again, if Jesus was still here and he did not die, then we'd have to, you know, I mean, Jesus is going to have to sleep. He's going to eat. He's going to have talk with his disciples. I mean, he's going to have things. And can you imagine if Jesus is still alive today and everybody had to go to him? It's impossible. But when he died, he left the ministry of the Holy Spirit for us so that, guess what? He can help you directly 24/7, 7 days a week. You can have access to the Holy Spirit and to defeat the enemy. And so we can put on the armor of God to defeat the devil all the time. We got to put it on. Excuse me. We got to put it on. And what is it? Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Guys, get this through your head. You are not wrestling with things. You are wrestling with entities. Did you hear me? You are wrestling with entities. Everything good and evil, it is not a chemical. You know, science wants you to think that, oh, there's no such thing as spirits. There's nothing. Can you define what chemical it is that causes people to do evil things? Right? And we know alcohol and drugs, it does things. But apart from that, let's say that you don't do those things. No, it's an outside entity. There's a good and evil that's going on. There's a war that's going on, the Bible talks about. And you're either going to submit to one. There is no neutral. So many people are like, well, I'm just not going to. Let me just say this. The devil's going to try to find you and knock you off, so you might as well be proactive on everything with your life, okay? You know, with your finances, if you just go, you know, whatever, I'm just whatever happens, happens, man. I'm just cool. It's all just going to work out in the end. No, it's not. It's not. Life isn't like that. You got to be proactive in things in life. And, you know, again, we're living in a world where, you know, it's never your fault. You know, it's always somebody else's fault, right? Don't blame me, you know. You're a hater. Did you drink your Haterade today? Right? I mean, no. It's never anybody's fault, right? Well, that's just me, man. Just, you know. I'm sorry I shot you in the foot, but man, it's just me, all right? You know. Okay, you know, sorry. Yeah. Sorry I ran over your kids with my car, but you know, it's just me, man. You know, don't be judgy. No, there is something there where like, okay, yeah, you're gonna have personal responsibility. And you know, Jesus is all about personal responsibility, and the devil is all about it's never your fault, right? Because the devil plays the victim all the time. If we're going to get out of this victim mentality, like the world always wants to, it's everybody else's problem, everybody else's things, you know, oh, it's everybody else's problem. No, we got to cast it on the Lord, but we got to have him help us out and be proactive. We got to put on the armor of God. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, here we go, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are dealing with entities that are trying to get us off. But guess what? We don't have to live in that realm. We can consistently live in the glory of God. I believe we're seeing things in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. It says that they were naked. I'll tell you what they lost. They lost the glory at that point. That glory that was on them, it left when they sinned. They were clothed in the glory of God. Why? Because there wasn't any sin at that point. And then verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand, withstand the evil day, and having all done all to stand. It doesn't say if, but when that evil day comes. I may have ever been around, you know, had to bury family members before, ever been at a funeral, right? I mean, just stick around long enough, it's going to happen. Well, that's just a negative confession. That's just awful. I remember years ago, I was in Bible college, and we were talking about this in one of my classes, some of us were talking about it, you know, about how the theory of, well, you know, they're just taking out, we're never going to die, and, you know, we're going to live for eternity, and I'm going to put my faith and I'm never going to die. Well, it's going to be time before that philosophy or theology is going to fail, right? Now, I'm not being a downer, but the point is just the Bible says when that day comes. Because there's going to be days where you're going to have to deal with things, right? You're going to lose family members just as time goes on. You know, things are going to happen, right? But what does it mean? We are ready. Now, we're never ready for bad things to happen, but what it means is we have somebody on our side that's going to be there for us. And guess what? It's going to be really bad if we don't. I have seen people that, Adrian and I, we have a friend of ours, friends of ours, we actually ate with them years ago, and we ate with them, they were in our church years ago, and they went to Texas. He was military, and he went to Fort Hood, where he was at, and they were just different things. So it was like, I think it was like the night before they left, we were hanging out with them, and they left, and anyway, long story short, they got murdered, right? It was terrible. And in fact, President Trump actually went all the way to Trump, and Trump is the one that let them be executed. Hallelujah. Served justice. So that was a big thing where it was like our really good friends that Trump said, nope, let them go. They can be executed, right? And I believe in mercy with people, but then too, you know, you gotta pay the piper. You do the deed, you pay the price, right? And so their mother at the time was so distraught. I mean, understandable. But she, and this is something that she got into, familiar spirits, and wanted to talk to Todd and everything else. Well, guess what? There's something that gave in, that let her do that. And what are familiar spirits? Familiar spirits are just basically entities that follow you all the time, and they know everything about you. That's why we see King Saul, when he was there, the witch of Endor, she freaked out when Samuel manifests, and God actually let Samuel manifest. Why? Because she was used to a familiar spirit. And the real deal showed up, then she was, I'm going to get killed for this. She was afraid for her life. So what we're seeing is, you know, we don't have to rely. See, I'm going to say something. I'm going to make a little bit of a detour here. And Deuteronomy talks about this. I don't have time to go into it today. Maybe next week we'll talk about it. But there, what we call the Bible talks about divination. It also talks about familiar spirits. And what familiar spirits are, they're assigned to you to watch you all the time. And I don't mean to freak you out or anything. But that's why you'll see people that are into the occult, or you'll see things like, well, only Uncle Joe would know that. Well, they're not talking to Uncle Joe on the by and by. They're talking to demons that are giving this information, and the Bible says that that's an abomination. Why? Because you are giving place to the devil, and God doesn't like that. He's like, no, you need to rely on me. And so they think that they're, you know, that the devil has all this power, and they're talking to Uncle Bob on the other side. They're not talking to Uncle Bob. They're talking to familiar spirits, the Bible talks about. It talks about in Galatians. It talks about in Deuteronomy. We see that, you know, King Saul dealt with this. We're seeing other people that went to these things. And that's where you see all these fortune tellers and all these seances and all this garbage on TV and these people flipping out, all these psychics and everything. Oh, they're talking to somebody, but it isn't that person. And because the Bible talks about we're either present with the Lord or not. Meaning you're either in your body or you're with the Lord as believers. You're not roaming the earth. You're not, you know, not psychics aren't, you know, tapping into things and everything else too. No, there are demon spirits to deceive you, to think that you're talking with you know, some relative or some person, I always notice these people, it's never like some, like when they're talking with somebody reincarnated, it's never some peasant. It's always some queen of the Sheba back in this big person. It's like, it's always some, you know, big, fancy, powerful person that they supposedly talk to. And I'm like, how about just some peasant, like some peasant farmer? But it's never that. It's always some big flamboyant person. And it's like, oh, give me a break. Really? Like every single person you talk to is some, you know, it's a big fat lie, and God considers it an abomination. And that's just one of the many things the devil tries to get you to do, to buy into his lies. And people will say, well, only this person knew and this person knew. Well, it's the devil pulling a trick on you to try to get you to think that you're actually talking to this person, and you're not. And you're not talking to that person at all. The Bible specifically says to be present with the Lord, or you're in your body, that's it. Either here on the earth or you're with the Lord as a believer. There's no in between. We're not roaming around. We're not being reincarnated into cows. We're nothing, you know? So, how much beef is walking around in India right now? I was just like watching it's like all those burgers and steaks, and I'm getting hungry talking about it. So. I got some friends over in India and stuff, and I'm thinking, man, I just walk along and I'm like, this place is delicious. That's right. You all starve. I'm going to carve an Uncle Bob over here. I'll tell you right now. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. We want to eat. So anyway, maybe that's the Bible says. It gives you cattle on a thousand hills, right? And one of the mamas at Raymond used to say, and the taters underneath. So amen. God gave us all those things to be a blessing to us. Amen. And that's what religion wants to tie you up and make you bondage. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll close here. We're not getting too far tonight, but that's okay. We're kind of running down some rabbit trails. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we got to understand doctrines of devils. Again, it doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, paint this pentagram and we're going to sacrifice chickens and everything else too. The doctrines of devil, you look at the spirit of Antichrist in 1 John, and what does it say? It just simply denies that Christ came in the flesh. Right? That is a satanic doctrine. Because that undermines everything that Christ came to deliver us for. If he didn't come in the flesh, then we're all just, this is a waste of time. Because he had to sacrifice himself to get us out. So a man got us into a mess, and a man had to get us out of the mess. And God himself came as Jesus to deliver us. So again, we need to look at things and say, you know what, that is just downright satanic. And again, it doesn't mean that it's just all this crazy wacko stuff. What it means is just a whisper of deception is the devil's calling card, right? Just go ahead and do it. It's okay. Ooh, they look good. Just go ahead, right? Ooh, that looks like fun. I should do that. Ooh, see, that's not boogity boogity. I'm the devil. I'm going to possess you. I'm going to do crazy stuff. It just means it's a suggestion. It's a, now get this. Lucifer caused a third of the angels to fall because of suggestion, right? Just saying. Again. How many countries have been over? We look at Russia from the family that was in control of Russia when Lenin came in. You see Hitler. You see all of these things. And what is it? In people in the time of need, they're just suggestions. And they deceive millions of people, haven't they? You know what? You deserve this. You deserve to have the land. You deserve to have this. You deserve this. You deserve this. You deserve. And what's the devil doing all the time? You know what? You deserve that. You really deserve that. You know what? You deserve better than him. You deserve better than her. You deserve better than this, right? Just saying. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, Timothy, the Apostle Paul telling Timothy here, that in latter times, are we in the latter times? I think so. Well, of course we're in the latter times because we're later than them, right? That, obviously, they're in the past and we're in the present. But in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Here we go. Giving heed to what? seducing spirits, and what? Doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. Ooh, that feels good. Ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, that feels good. Yeah. Seducing, right? You know, I had an old Lincoln Continental. You talk about a joke. I mean, it was a horrible car. It was just awful. And you know what the crazy thing was? We were trying to give it away to junkyards, and they didn't even want it. You know what? It wasn't very seducing. Wasn't very seducing at all, right? I had this old, and then when we were kids, we had a 19. It's like a yacht. We had a 1975. It was funny. Okay, I got to tell a story. I digress. My dad and I went, and I was looking at this car, this Camaro. I ended up buying this Trans Am when I was younger. Wish I still had that car. Oh, I wish I had that car right now. Anyway. So anyway, it was a 1975. It was a Delta 88. Oh, baby, was it sweet. I mean, I could almost lay flat on the back of it. You know, it was like huge. I mean, it was enormous. And so we got the car. I'm driving the car we bought. My dad's driving this big old 1975 Oldsmobile. Delta 88, and it was gold. Oh, baby, it was like a brown gold. It was sweet looking. It was so seductive. I don't know. I don't think seductive is the right term. It was awful. But anyway, it was horrible. And we got pulled over because the sheriff thought we stole it. And I thought, this car? I was about like, so I pulled over in it, and the sheriff pulled us over, and he's like, we have a report that a car like this got stolen. And I'm thinking, you should have hung up on him. Nobody's going to steal this car. So anyway, it was some other car, but they thought that this car was stolen. I'm thinking, this is not seductive, okay? There is no temptation here to steal this car. So anyway, I thought, you got to be kidding me. As a cop, I would just... Okay, anyway, so I digress. But it was not a very seductive car, okay? I'm just telling you, nobody was in line to steal that car. But the Bible says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. So we have to continually say, is this thing, I'll just stop now. If you have something that has dialogue, it's a spirit you're dealing with. I'm going to say that again. If you're dealing with something that is, you have dialogue, it's a spirit. What I mean by that is, you know what? You should just kill yourself. You know what? You're not worth anything. You know what? You should really do this. When you have something that is gnawing at you all the time and pressing you and pressing you and pressing you and driving you to do something, see, the devil is a driver. The Holy Spirit is a leader. He leads and guides you. And he's very loving. The devil wants to drive you. So drive, you got to do this now. You got to do this now. What if you don't have this opportunity again? What if this never happens again? You got to do this now. Oh, you got to have that. You got to have that. You got to have that. Doctrines of devils. Here we go. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Here we go. And having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Last scripture here, and then we'll pick it up more next week. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. You know what? Jesus dealt with this too. You know, you realize that's why Jesus has so much compassion on us is because he went through the same thing we did. He has dealt with everything you and I have dealt with. That's why God's mercy is so, because number one, he is love. But number two, he went through everything you went through or you're going through. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What? You mean God led Jesus to be tempted of the devil? Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. I'm sure he was. And when he was tempted, came to him. And he said, the devil came and said, what? Well, if you're really the Son of God, command those stones to be made bread. I've talked about this too. What's the enemy going to do? He's going to try to get you off and for you not to identify with who you really are. It's a key. If you're really the Son of God. You know what? If you're really born again, you wouldn't be thinking these thoughts. You know what? If you're really born again, you wouldn't be doing this stuff, right? You know what? If you're really saved, you wouldn't have done those things in the past. Well, wait a minute here. If God forgave, if God forgot about him, why are you excuse me, rehearsing those in your mind? I always like to say this too, you know, the devil only shows, oh, I shouldn't even use this word because probably half the people in here don't even know what I'm even talking about, but I'm going to say it anyway. The devil wants to show you a Polaroid. Anybody know what a Polaroid is? We got some people, hey, I know what a Polaroid is. I know that, yeah. A Polaroid. The devil, when the devil brings you up of your sin and everything, it's like basically a Polaroid of something that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist anymore. If you have been forgiven, and you've repented of that thing of like 1 John 1:9, that doesn't exist anymore. And the devil is trying to show you something that does not exist. I always like to remind the devil when he says something stupid like that to me, say, you know what, devil, I'm so glad you brought that up because guess what? I really want to remind you of your future. Guess what? You're going to burn forever. And it's going to be so wonderful. And then I don't hear from him that. And then it takes a little while for him to get back to me. But I always like to talk to the devil. I don't want to have conversations with him. But when I hear his voice, I want to respond. Because like, no, wait a minute. You're not going to have the last word. I'm going to have the last word. And guess who had the last word all the time was Jesus. You know, we think, oh, I don't want to talk to the devil. No, make him aware that you're aware of him and you're going to have control over him and you're not going to listen to his stupidity anymore. And I'm going to say, the more no's the enemy has, the more you're inviting Jesus into your life, right? What did Jesus say? Well, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is he really saying? He's like, first of all, I don't need to be tempted. Second of all, I am the word. And everything that I say is dominant over you. And you're subject to me, by the way. And then what's he say? Verse, then the devil took him up into the holy city and he seated him in the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you're the Son of God, again, he's trying to tempt him, trying to get him to doubt who he is. That's why it's so important that we have a revelation of righteousness. What's that? What's righteousness mean? It means that we possess something because of what Christ did on the cross. Right? You know how many people don't realize that? I mean, we are in an identity crisis right now. Yeah. I mean, there's people that, well, I don't identify as a woman. I don't identify as a man. I don't identify as this. See, the devil is always trying to get everybody to off so they don't really accomplish what it is they're supposed to do. Because if you realize and have a revelation, the people in this world have a revelation of what who they are and what they can accomplish, the devil is afraid. He's afraid of you being effective and actually doing something. Again, everything the devil's doing is seductive, right? The seductive voice, ooh, those rocks, you could turn those into bread. You know what? You don't have to, you know, won't be hungry anymore. Took him up the pinnacle. What did he say here? If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give you his angels charge over thee. And in their hands, what? He's trying to push him to do something, isn't he? Well, prove that you're the Son of God. Prove it. We'll see. And Jesus, the whole time, is being led by the Spirit. He's like, no, I'm not influenced by the devil. And then what's the last one here? In verse 8, well, and then Jesus came, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, and again, the devil took him up to exceeding the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, and he said unto him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. What's he trying to do? Okay, I'm going to give you a shortcut. Just do this, and then everything's going to be done, and then you don't have to do whatever you need to do because I don't really know what's going to happen anyway because I'm the devil, and I don't really know you're going to go to the cross yet. So what he's trying to do is like, okay, you just do this and we'll circumvent this and this will be a quickie way out and then we'll be all done. And guess what? Anything the devil tells you, you can just bet it's a lie, right? Because I guarantee you, if Jesus would have kneeled down at that day and worshiped him to get it back, yes, devil had the authority because Adam gave it to him, but you guarantee there's no way the devil is going to give it up to him. No, because the devil is a liar. And what's the devil say, or what's Jesus say here to the devil? Verse 10, and Jesus said to him, get hence or get away from me, devil, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. In verse 11, and the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. So we know that, again, the enemy, as we're closing, we'll get in more into next week, but we know that the devil is going to come back and try to get you off. But guess what? You know, years ago, I'm going to say this, years ago, that, you know, I drank and started slipping into some heavy drinking. And, you know, once I got my life turned around and all of a sudden God supernaturally delivered me from addictions, it was kind of interesting because there was a few times where the devil tried to get me back into that. But, you know, I don't have any temptation at all anymore for that. None. I haven't had it in for years and years and years and years, decades now. That I have been, well, I'm only 20, what, four? So I guess it's maybe 4 years and 3 years. No, I'm kidding. But I haven't had those things. Why? Because I have practiced this scripture. No. And you know what? After a while, the devil will, just say this, the devil does give up on you in certain areas, right? He's going to come back and he's going to go, but when he knows that it's just never going to work, right? Like, for example, if, you know, if you're born again, he's not going to get me to turn away from Jesus. It's just never going to happen, right? But what he's going to try to do is maybe cause a little doubt here, right? Are you sure? Is this really working out right? Are you really doing what you're supposed to do? What? He's going to try to chip away at other things to lead up to something else. But if I don't give him access, I don't give him a door or an access to this area, then guess what? He can't get into this over here. Because the ultimate goal is really, okay, let's just give up on God totally. And what is that going to have? It's going to have to take one chip at a time. One yes, one yes, one yes, one yes. But guess what? The more you say no to the devil, the farther it is for him to get you to slide away. The things I dealt with 20, 30, I don't deal with that anymore. Because I've closed the door to the devil. And I say, absolutely not. I am not even going to give you the time of day anymore. And I'm never, there are just certain areas of my life that I was tempted in years ago that I have not been tempted with for decades. Because the enemy knows he will never get access to that again. Ever. Ever. So what have I done? I've done these scriptures. I have put on the armor of God and I said, I am not going to drink alcohol anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm not. And he'll still try to have other things come along, right? That's going to try to tempt you, try to be seductive and whatever it is. But once you open up a door, and then he's going to try to open a little more, and 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 all of a sudden you're way off. That's why it's so important to be in church, because you hold yourself accountable to other people in the body and be reminded of these things, right? Because you know, you can let things slip, and it's always good just to be with the body because it reminds you all the time how important it is. I just say this. I mean, you're never going to watch TV, never going to go to work, never going to have a world, never going to be in a restaurant. Nobody's going to say, you know what, you need to hold tight to God because he's got plans for it. You're never going to get that anywhere else, right? I mean, I'm sure people in the world, you know, care about other people. We're not saying that. But you're not going to get people in the world. I remember I was listening to this one minister years ago, and they always have some of the churches, folks that I went to Rhema with, they're, you know, some of the ethnic churches that were some of the people that I went to Bible college with and everything, and they would do things. They'd have like, you know, the church mama and the church papa and this and that and everybody else, and they'd always say things like, "You still holding on?" Which it just means, are you still living for God? And it was there, and it's just funny to be around them because we'd be in prayer school, and they'd have the march, you know, that old holiness, you know, churches and stuff, and they, "I am marching," and they come in like this in prayer school and everything, and then you're talking to them, and some of my friends, we'd be in prayer school together and healing school and stuff, and like, "Brother, you still holding on?" I was like, "Man, I'm still holding on. Are you still holding on?" What it means is, are you still on fire for God? We always talk to each other sometimes, and they, you know, we'd talk things, and they'd say, in this minister, I had a few friends of mine, we'd talk, and they, "Hey, brother, you still holding on? Still holding on. You holding on? Yeah? Yeah, still holding on." It just means, are you still chasing after God? Are you still holding on to Him? Right? Are you still running after Him? Are you still pursuing Him? You know, you're not letting things slip in your life. You're not letting things go. And so just so important to be able to have these things in our life where we can put on the armor of God, right? Don't let things down. Because the devil is always looking for an inroad, but we don't have to. We don't have to be. We're not going to be afraid of the devil. We're going to take authority over the devil. And we're going to put him in his place. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're going to keep holding on tonight. Amen. Holding on to Jesus. Lord, tonight we thank you for your mercy and your grace tonight, Lord, that we put you the foremost of our mind tonight. That you are the one that delivers people. You bring us hope. You are the one that brings life and more abundantly in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, it's because of you we can live a victorious life, Lord. We can put down the enemy. We can put on the armor of God. We don't have to listen to seducing spirits, Lord God, but we can say no to the devil and we can say yes to Jesus. And because when we say yes to Jesus, there's life, there's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord, the only joy that goes beyond understanding comes from the Holy Ghost and comes from your goodness tonight, Lord. We thank you so much that, Lord, you breathe a breath of fresh air into our life. Just like you breathed into Adam's nostrils there on the day that you created him, Lord, you breathe life. You breathe that same, just like at the end of Luke, when you breathed in to the disciples there after you had went to the cross and you were on the road that by the Holy Spirit, you breathed life into them. Lord, we thank you tonight that you're breathing life into people now, and the joy of the Lord is upon us, Lord God. And we thank you that oil of joy, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, that yoke-breaking anointing would rest upon us tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, have a great week, everybody.